Welcome in to another edition of Under the Bus, where three old guys who have been under some buses in our lives come together and we talk about the good things in sport, but we also throw a few people under the bus. Curry Kirkpatrick is here, Sports Illustrated legend. Rich Basirico is here, high school basketball coaching legend. I'm Bob Stevens, legend of nowhere.
You're a legend.
I'm legend of nowhere. We're going to start talking in a spot that I would not have imagined last year, 5 years ago, certainly not 20 years ago, talking about women's basketball, women's college basketball, dominating the men in the news after a spectacular setup for a Final Four. Let's talk about the Monday night games were as good as they were hyped. I mean, well, that never happens in sport, does it?
Yeah, well, it took over the basketball week. There was a Monday night doubleheader, and it felt like, I mean, the hype was like a Monday night football game, like Monday night football.
Yeah.
Everybody was so excited about a Monday night game. And LSU against Iowa, national championship game last year, which LSU won. Of course, Caitlin Clark, you know, heroine of the age. I mean, this was so hyped against Angel Reese, you know, the villain of the piece.
Right.
And they don't seem to like each other, of course, after last year's championship game. But it was like a Beyonce against Taylor Swift in a shakeoff or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the hype around this thing, and the fact is the games lived up to it.
Yeah, I mean, they were both tied at halftime, both games. They were just both just terrific games. And what did they end up scoring? I mean, Caitlin gets 41. 41.
She put a 40 on them. It was like the fourth or fifth time she'd gone for 40.
But to do it against LSU, the defending national champs, that's.
Yeah. Well, Angel hurt her ankle early in the second half, or might have even been the first half. I think she was hampered by it, but Caitlin, I thought, dominated the game. Rich,
well,
from a coaching point,
yeah.
I mean, this girl's range
is amazing.
When you see highlights, you don't. It's not like her seeing her whole game, her passing, her intelligence.
She has it all. She sees the floor so well. Her passing is amazing, as you say. Her range is incredible. Most defenders aren't going to step out that far, but they know she can shoot from there. But she's incredible. When she gets hot, and she gets going, it's incredible.
Is she? We talked about this a little bit, but maybe now we can say it and not even chuckle. She the woman's Pete Maravich?
Well, you know,
you know Pete.
Well, I saw her last night. Yeah, I did a ton of stuff on Pete, and I can't believe this girl did not watch Pete's tapes of his, you know, his tapes when he played, because he made some tapes, and also game film. Of course, there is no game film.
Right.
And I don't. She said she's admired him, but she didn't say anything about watching her. But the way she plays, I mean, she goes behind her back half the time. She throws behind the back passes, and they're on the money.
Yes.
She doesn't do it for flash. She does it for effectiveness. I'm just astounded. And as you say, her range. You don't like some of her facial expressions.
Okay? Well, I think, you know, every time something doesn't go well for her, you know, she gets fouled, they don't call the foul, or she makes a pass, and she's almost upset with her teammate. But some of those mistakes last night, she did have a period in there where she made two or three bad passes, and then she's throwing her hands up like that. Like,
well, and she gets on herself, though, I think.
She does. Yeah, she gets on herself. Even her dad said, you know, quiet down. Just
what
you
I
don't
can't,
need that facial expression. Just play the game.
What I can't believe is how skinny and how frail she looks. I mean, she's really skinny.
Yeah.
I don't know how much she weighs. And, I mean, she has the body of a scarecrow and the face of an angry crow sometimes.
But she can speed up because they're holding on to her.
She
really has to work hard to get open for the pass.
It's like, you know, one of her fans is Jason Sudeikis, who was at the game.
Right.
Ted Lasso.
Right.
And when Angel Reese fouled out, of course, last year they had the big thing with the facial expressions.
Yeah.
Angel Reese is going ring after she beats Caitlin. Well, they shot to Sudeikis, and here's Ted Lasso, and he's going like that. I mean, I thought Ted Lasso was like kind of some sweet guy. He was nasty, but Angel Reese, he's going bye-bye.
That's all right. That's good.
Great.
That's really good.
All right, so Caitlin and Iowa will now play UConn. They still haven't gotten to the title game to get to the semifinals. They'll be playing a UConn team. Paige Beckers, who was the big thing
Like she was Kalen Clark. She was Kalen before Kalen.
About 6 years ago, when before she kept getting hurt and
got all the awards.
She's back for all the
Player of the Year.
Yeah,
as a freshman.
And she
has
28-10, and they beat Juju, who had 29. I mean, all of the stars played their roles.
Paige Beckers has been out of basketball prior to this year, about a year and a half,
right,
with injuries, which is really sad. But she's sensational. She's right terrific. Back to where she was, Rich.
She down the stretch when Southern Cal came back and made their run, Paige took over for Connecticut. Yep. She really did. She hit some big shots for them.
Well, they got 10 in a row with about 3 minutes left that put the game away. Do you know that she's big time marketer before it was popular.
She was the first. Yeah.
Yeah. She got her name. Her nickname is Paige Buckets, and she got that name immemorialized or.
Copyrighted. Trademarked, yeah. Okay.
She also was the first athlete, man or woman, to be signed by Gatorade, which really surprised
me. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she's a huge name in this game. And, of course, she's bringing back Gino
Auriemma
to his 23rd Final Four.
That's amazing.
And the guy's 23 Final Fours. He's won 11, which, by the way, is more than Danny Hurley's won at Connecticut, and more than John Wooden has won.
This guy has
11.
No one will ever catch him.
Gino was 70.
Last week,
all his girls, his women players, made T-shirts with pictures of Gino in different stages of his career. And Paige Beckers' T-shirt had a picture of her at a press conference, and Gino's sitting there, and he's fast asleep. There's a picture of him fast asleep. Yeah.
Wow.
And Becker said, "That's my man." He said, "My man needs a nap," said Paige Becker. It was great.
So instead of the USC from California going to the Final Four, it's South Carolina's waiting for Iowa or UConn.
Right. Well, they got to beat NC State first.
But
South Carolina's the best team.
But South Carolina is still the best team on the
– sure.
They're playing a North Carolina State, while the other North Carolina State team, how about that, that send the men and women to the Final Four, and neither one of them was seated all that.
Correct.
Before we get to the men, can I bring up one more women's player?
Yeah.
It's a little freshman girl who plays for Notre Dame, Hannah Hidalgo. And I don't know if you read this, but she had a problem in her first game. Oregon State beat Notre Dame, upset Notre Dame. In the game, Hidalgo had a nose ring, and they said no nose rings. She had to remove her nose ring. Notre Dame claims that they weren't told that. She's been wearing it all year. It's not really a ring. It's a stud. It's a diamond stud in her nose. And they told her, first of all, she had to cover it up. Then Notre Dame says, no, they didn't tell us that. Then they made her remove it during the game after the end of the first quarter. She sat out 5 minutes, and the trainers are over there. And I swear they had pliers.
Upper
they had
nose.
Pliers removing her. Are you kidding me?
Yikes.
And she sat out 5 minutes, came back cold. She's averaging 23 points. She got 10 in this game, shot 3 for 17.
Wow.
Of course, afterward, they talked to her after. Of course, being a Jersey girl, she said, this is all BS. She said, well, the ref should referee the game, not worry about my jewelry.
But they said
it was dangerous. Are you kidding me? Dangerous? What? Dangerous is these eyelashes and these nails girls wear.
Correct.
In the game.
That's true.
I mean, their eyelashes are out there.
Why do you have no eyelashes? Well, I said to my wife last night watching the games, why is she wearing eyelashes for a basketball
game? Well, and a bunch of them do. And they're out to here. You talk about weapons. These eyelashes are out there. They could cut you up bad. I mean, these eyelashes look like they're auditioning for the red carpet or a shot on what's his name's race, RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, it's not a good look.
I'm gonna divert the discussion just a little bit. I will also, though, throw the NCAA under the bus. But for the 3-point line in Portland, they couldn't get the 3-point line measured right. And what, they played five games with the line wrong.
Before they figured it out.
Before they did anything about it. And
well, it's just disrespecting the feminine game again. It's, you know, the girls are
going
crazy.
Women's game
it's just incompetent.
The women's
just,
game has come slow. In high school, no one ever went to watch the girls play number one.
Of course not.
Number two, they played three at front court,
Thank
three
you.
In the back court.
And you couldn't move.
Yeah, so you only the three girls played defense. Yeah. They could never score. No, I didn't go watch one high school girls basketball game, not one.
And nobody loves basketball more than you.
Right.
I guess that wasn't basketball. No, I remember those days.
Come a long way. For me to watch two games last night, women's basketball, I've never done that. But I was excited. I was pumped up about it.
I was going to say, did you ever think you'd be talking about it as the first thing on a podcast? Now they go to the Final Four in Cleveland. Now, there is... The caveat to this is there are 20,000 seats in Cleveland. There are 70,000 in Phoenix for the guys' Final Four. But the women's tickets cost twice as much. They're scalping for twice as much as the men's tickets.
How much are those tickets?
Well, they're going for over $450 bucks for the title game, which, you know, could be Caitlin against USC, could be Paige Beckers against USC.
But it's Caitlin against Paige for sure. That's the matchup.
The 400 is peanuts to what Kim Mulkey's outfits, though. your girl, Kim Mulkey, how about her this week?
I'll tell you, which I have a quote from her, I thought it was very good. So when they went through the line after the game was over, Coach Mulkey said, I'm glad you are leaving. Girl, you're something else. Never seen anything like it. I thought that was nice.
It was sweet. You could see the hug that Kim Mulkey gave Angel Reese. And they were, big time enemies last year after all that stuff.
You mean Clark and Angel Reese.
I mean Kim Mulkey. Well, Kim Mulkey did loves too. Angel Reese. But remember, she suspended her for a few games this year and didn't say why, has never said why.
Right.
So, I mean, there's some strange stuff going on.
Yeah.
As usual.
All right. We will talk about the men because we got to talk about the other NC State team and the other UConn team. They're both still alive in the men's bracket. And we have a revelation on the show today that it will shake the actual foundation of men's college basketball. It's coming up. We're going to throw these guys under the bus. Coming up next. Welcome back to Under the Bus. Bob Stevens alongside Curry Kirkpatrick and Rich Basirico. All right, now, you guys, let's bring out the news right here. Last week we promoted, you guys were going to the Final Four. You were going to be right there in the middle of it all. Then Carolina loses. And now there's no trip.
Devastated. I don't want to talk about it.
He wants to talk baseball now?
Yeah. I just want to bring up Connecticut first, because I think they deserve it. 30-0
In my life.
You know, there's been some numbers. That's what Connecticut scored in a row, 30 points in a row on Illinois. And the other number that shot to me, 50 minutes of real time. 50 minutes, Illinois did not score a basket.
Wow.
50 minutes of real time. And in the midst of
they had a great player. They had a great player.
Shannon,
They're talking about him being the best player in the tournament.
How many times did Illinois try to stop the clock to do something about this?
You got to stop that run. You have to stop the run. He called it one timeout and then let it get away from him.
After they got about 10 in the second
it's
half.
It's terrible. You can't do it.
It went from 23-23. 53-23.
Yes. Wow.
I had a friend that went to the game, a Connecticut guy, and he texted me. He said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "All of a sudden, you know, we're in this bloodbath first half, and we're looking, and all of a sudden, I look up a few minutes in the second half, the game's over." Yeah. He said, "He looked at my wife and said, 'This game's over. What happened?'" He said, "I still don't know what happened."
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain. I mean, they just blew them out. Bulletin, Donovan Klingon has just buried another Illinois player in the floorboard, the TD guard. I mean, they kept taking at him, Rich, even Shannon. He threw Shannon into the second row player a couple times.
Connecticut is tough.
They're so
good offensively, defensively. But a 30-0 run? Heck, even when I played in high school and we lost to Roosevelt High School, they didn't go 30-0 on us.
Well, you know, there's some iconic numbers. They're all usually by players. Jordan's shot. Everybody remembers Leitner's shot. Walton in the final had 40 points. But the 30-0 is going to stand out.
If UConn wins this thing, everybody's going to. But they play out now. They got to play Alabama, who has
Illinois can score too. But here's something interesting, Bob and Curry. So everybody talks defense wins championships, right?
Right.
Coaches always say defense. Illinois beats Iowa State. Iowa State was terrific defensive play team. Duke beats Houston. Houston's this unbelievable defensive team, right? Bama beats North Carolina.
Playing pretty good defense.
And Purdue beats Gonzaga. All those four teams that lost were the better defensive teams by far. Iowa State, Houston, North Carolina, they all lost.
So defense doesn't win championships?
I believe they do. Yeah. But looking at that, what's going on?
Playing a little bit of defense wins championships.
Yeah, maybe so.
Playing better than you normally do.
But teams shot themselves out of games, like Marquette.
You're talking about all these losers, I know, but
4 for 31. Why do they keep shooting these threes if they're not doing well? I mean, sooner or later, the coach is going to say, guys.
Here's
why Alabama's got a shot, because they do shoot threes. I mean, they take 30 and 35 threes, right, and they make 15 to 18 of them. They got a shot against Connecticut, I think.
Yeah, they have a shot.
You know, I want to go back to Connecticut. You know, during every Connecticut blowout, they always shoot to the stands and show their celebrity fans. One of whom is, you know, two of whom are two of the funniest people on earth.
Bill Murray,
whose son is an assistant at Connecticut, and now Larry David. Last week in Boston, Larry David's show, and they show him, and apparently he was heckling Hurley the whole time as he's blowing out Illinois. He's saying,
"Get your guys out!
Don't put him back in early." You know, he's really angry, and he walked out with 5 minutes left, apparently. You know, I love Larry David. Of course, his show is the iconic Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think America might be curbing their enthusiasm for this Final Four. I mean, watching Connecticut, it might be just a couple more scrimmages for Connecticut. I don't know.
It could be. Well, I think we think they'll beat Bama and Purdue, will beat NC State. But crazy things happen. But Purdue-Connecticut will be a great matchup. You know, Eddie, no one's been able to stop him. You know, from a fan standpoint, and even as a coach, I don't understand how they are defending him. They're playing behind him. You can't play behind him. He's so strong. Now, granted, he seals you off, and you can't wrap around him. But you got to double down on him.
And you would think
force him to beat you from the outside.
And you would think Rick Barnes, being a defensive coach at Tennessee, he has one of the best defensive teams.
Without doubt,
he would have done that. Because Purdue was, you know, he's worried about the three.
Purdue shot
3 for 15 in that game.
Correct.
And Edie gets 40. Right. Meanwhile, just walking it up the court. Why don't you pressure Purdue and make them run a little bit?
Yeah.
And all Edie does is walk back the court
and
get
where he wants
down
to be.
And get 40.
Where he wants to be.
And get 40 on
it. And the other way is put the pressure on the perimeter. Don't let Mick throw that entry pass. And I'm going to belly up with you, make you put it on the floor so you can't make. They backed off and let the guy go. It's like a quarterback having a lot of time to throw it. Eventually, you're going to find your receiver. They let these guys stand there and go, oh, there's Eddie. Okay, let me throw it to him. And Curry just pointed out, big thing, they're shooting so poorly from the perimeter. Double down. Make them beat you from the outside.
Well, meanwhile.
I didn't understand any of that.
Meanwhile, we have the ballerina bear. I call him Bear.
If we were talking about moments, it was going to be UConn's 30-0 run. If we were talking about a player, I mean, who's the player of this tournament?
DJ Burns. And he's captured the imagination of the fan base, I think, all over the nation.
Can he play enough defense to give Edie a hard time?
He doesn't play defense. Who cares about defense?
I think he'll get him in foul trouble. If Burns has to defend him, they'll get him in foul trouble.
As surely as he plundered Duke, 29 against Duke, and Filipowski, you know, Duke's star. I don't know if you saw this. He was so bewildered as what's happening to him. Late in the game, he shot an air ball three.
Air ball three,
and he started screaming at the Duke bench. And about 2 minutes later, he fouls out of the game. I mean, he was so bewildered. I mean, He was searching for a court storm rather than have to deal with this guy.
He didn't spin around after he bounced off him a couple of times and fall to the ground like he would.
His creative moves inside. He's 6'9",
275
or 350.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or 350.
Give or take a couple of trips to the breakfast bar at Shoney's. He's a sensational.
His footwork is amazing.
Yeah.
And for him to move like he does with that size. But you know what? You love
can
about
he play in the NBA?
You know what I like?
I don't know.
Well, you know.
Or does he play in the WWE?
Everybody compares him to Zach Randolph, the Michigan State of long ago, who had a good career. You know what's funny to me is State has a guy named Muhammad Diarra, who is representing Ramadan, which means he can't eat from sundown to sunset. So he goes into these games having not eaten all day. Meanwhile, DJ Burns is pounding chocolate pies every time out. It looks like he's pounding away chocolate pies. I mean, it's just so funny.
And he's having a good time playing, too. He's got that smile on his face. You know, it's just he's really enjoying
the moment. Well, he's kind of he looks like he's a Santa Claus girth out there. And it's been 4 weeks of Christmas for this team. NC State will be the first team in the Final Four that lost 14 games. Wow. They lost 14 games in a regular season. And Kevin Keats is about to get fired.
Correct.
And then he unleashes the dancing bear, this fatty bear guy.
Where was he during the regular season?
He was around. He just kept going into timeouts, eating chips. Because they had to take him out a lot because he's not in shape.
You can
tell he's not in shape. Rich, he doesn't even run. He walks up the court, kind of strolls around, gets the ball.
But UConn wins this thing?
I think so.
Okay.
Unless
there's a big upset. March 16th, if Isaac McNeely of UVA misses a late free doesn't if he makes a late free throw,
this team's not
none of this
there.
Happens.
And he's Virginia's best free throw shooter.
None of this happens.
And then Tony Bennett
would have
plays
fouled.
His whole team back across the line, and O'Connell, the great kid from Mineola.
How about that?
Chaminade
High School, gets the ball, dribbles all down the court, and Bennett doesn't foul him, He banks in. That's banks in an unbelievable three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game. They go to overtime. If that hasn't
happened, none of this happens.
You know, Kevin Keats is looking for a job.
That's why. Yeah.
Bennett should get season tickets. I mean, that's season tickets to the Final Four.
I think he does.
Really? I know, but I mean, he should sit on the bench of NC State.
He's got your tickets.
Oh, he probably does. Yeah, he should sit on the bench of NC State.
I can't believe you guys aren't going. I'm stuck.
Well, who's the, you know, they keep talking about Cinderella. In North Carolina State, where's the glass slipper? Oh, they have a glass girdle for T.J. Burns is what they have.
We're talking about Cinderella. How about Clemson? Clemson was right there, and they had, in the tournament, they had the best percentage from the free throw line in the tournament.
Hmm.
And then in the game against Bama, they shoot 50%. 50%. That's the reason why.
Well, and Bama just buries them with threes.
They did. They were right there. They were right there. They make their foul shots. They could have won that game. I'm not saying they would have won the game. They could have won the game.
Well, Mark Spears took over. He missed the first six threes he took in the game.
He made the last seven,
I think, in the game. He just took over the game.
But isn't it interesting?
They bury him with threes.
But isn't it interesting when they played Arizona, they kept on saying, Clemson's defense defending the three is amazing. Arizona was wide open in those three. They just didn't hit them. But they kept on saying how well they defended it. They didn't defend it well. Arizona just didn't make the shots. Now against Bama,
Bama against North Carolina played off. They double-teamed R.J. Davis, played off a couple of our guys, didn't even guard him. And a guy named Nelson from North Dakota State.
I know, killed you.
Who killed, I mean, Nelson had 24-10 against us in North Carolina. In games this year, he had 3 against Tennessee, 2 against Mississippi State, and 0 against South Carolina. He got 0 against South Carolina. He got 24 against North Carolina.
And what did he get the next game after he beat you guys? He had 6.
8-7 or something like that.
Yeah.
But he was terrific against
us. Not that you're
bitter.
He blocked RJ Davis on the last shot.
Not that you're bitter or anything like that.
I love the way Nate Oates plays at Alabama. I know you as a coach, it's kind of shaky. But he lets everybody just go down and shoot it and run and shoot and run and shoot. And he plays some defense. Look, the guy's made Alabama a power in college basketball. You know, he was an assistant to Bobby Hurley, Danny's brother, at Buffalo. And that's how he got the job
He was a high school coach before that.
Well, I was going to add to that. The three of the four coaches in the Final Four, Hurley, Nate Oates, and Kevin Keats, as recently as 2010, 13, 14 years ago, were coaching high school basketball. That gives you hope. There's still hope for you to get coaching in that Final Four, even though you're already in the Hall of Fame. But you'll be coaching in that Final Four.
Not trying to find some tickets. Yeah, that's not happening.
That's good stuff. All right. Any other final thoughts on the Final Four?
I want to throw under the bus how they allow players at the end of the game They obviously get the ball in the best player's hands, mm-hmm. and then it's up to them to create for themselves. Your guy, RJ, at North Carolina at the end of the game, he took a – I know he's your best player, and the ball should be in his hands at the end of the game. But he's running, dribbling all over the place, and he shoots the ball. It doesn't even touch the rim.
That was the last shot. You're talking about the last shot.
I'm talking about the end of the game.
The only offense North Carolina had from the 10-minute mark to the end of the game was R.J. Davis driving to the rim.
Okay.
That's all we had.
Do something. Run a play for him. I think he should have the ball.
He made our last six with all those troubles he had and Baycott disappeared. We were ahead by 1 point. Davis had scored the last 6 points, either going to the rim or and getting fouled. Right. He's a great free throw shooter. So on our last possession, under 40 seconds, a poor soul named Jalen Withers off our bench.
It's a three.
He gets the ball at about 20 from 20 feet away, 15 seconds on the shot clock. Our only off is R.J. Davis. He throws a three up, hits the rim, bounces off. They go down. Nelson scores, gets an and one off of Withers. The game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Withers' shot will stay in Tar Heel infamy forever.
Probably so.
Got to get your big guy the ball at the end, and get it to him with some help.
But there's no plays. It's like get the ball in the best player's hand, let him do his thing, create for himself. Everybody stands around watching him. It's not just North Carolina. No. Tennessee, same thing.
Right.
You know, run something for him, back screen for him. I mean, run something for him.
Well, here's what Alabama runs. They runs get down the court and shoot a three. They have a 6'11 guy named Ian Stevenson, Chapel Hill kid. We thought we were getting him. All of a sudden, at the end of his recruiting, he signs with Alabama. Are you kidding me? He's 6'11. He made five threes in that game. I mean.
He had made five threes.
Thank you. Shake his hand.
All right. When we come back, short segment. We talked a lot of hoops. We still got a couple of minutes, though, to have some fun with the opening weekend of baseball.
Perfect.
Let's talk about it.
Yankees.
I got somebody to throw under the bus there. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back under the bus. We welcome you back to Under the Bus. Bob Stevens along with Rich Basirico and Curry Kirkpatrick. We got baseball starting.
Love it.
Oh, isn't it? I mean, isn't it terrific?
Didn't 30 teams play in the same day or something?
Well, they were going to. We had a couple of rainouts. But, it was – I bought the MLB package, so now I can watch anything, anytime, except the Braves at home. I can't watch the app. We're blacked out for the Braves at home.
Wow.
So you got it to watch your Cleveland Indians.
The Guardians.
I keep calling them Indians.
Well, that's all right. And you still can
Indians,
because so everybody still is. That's okay.
They're the Indians.
But I have enjoyed watching everybody else. My wife's a Tiger fan. We've watched a little of the Tigers. They played the White Sox. Nobody cared. But we did, and a little bit, and the Tigers played really well. Okay, whatever. Anyway. Let's talk about throwing people on the bus. I want to throw every team under the bus that's not the Yankees for not signing Juan Soto. Anybody could have had him. The Dodgers. In fact, I'll throw the Dodgers under the bus. They spent $1 billion. For a half a billion more, they could have had Juan Soto.
I mean, they traded so many players for Soto. I mean,
Soto's off a pretty good start.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was.
He's
Roberto
stud.
Clemente in right field. The guy's
I know,
become a
no,
great fielder.
Well, I didn't even know he was a good outfielder myself.
Arm.
I knew he was a great hitter.
Yeah.
I think they're playing extremely well, and their pitching staff. I still worry about their rotation with Cole being out, and they didn't make a move to get one. But they got some good young arms. But Soto makes a huge difference. And Judge is hitting like 135.
Yeah.
So once he gets going, you know, Rizzo. Pretty good. Stanton's is Stanton, you know, but they're having a
good. Here we go. Didn't we hear this last week?
Yeah, I think we did. But they're
fun.
But they're
undefeated.
Let's talk about your Cardinals.
My Cardinals went into
had
LA.
To play the Dodgers.
Well, they
yeah.
went into LA
what happened
open season. Played a 4-game series. They led in every game. Cardinals led in every game.
Yeah,
late.
And what happened?
Only in the third game did they win, but they got Ohtani to. Pop out with the bases loaded in the ninth inning, so they beat the
That's
Dodgers
the game they
game.
Won.
Yeah.
That's the game they won.
Otherwise,
then they beat San Diego last night, though. So
okay.
We're on a roll.
All right, good.
One game roll.
One game.
I don't think my Cardinals have enough pitching.
How good is Mookie Betts, huh?
Mookie Betts is
terrific. Mookie Betts hit a home run in every game so far?
It seems like it. Man, it seems like it.
He's the terrific bowler. Did you know that?
Bowler?
Oh, yeah. His aunt worked at Hillnet Prep, and she used to talk about him bowling all the time, how good a bowler he was.
You could have had him.
We tried to get him, but we couldn't give him enough money.
Did we lose the bowling alley?
If you had a bowling alley on the island, you could have had him.
If you had a bowling team. Prep. Did
you ask his aunt if Mookie is a family name? How do you get that name?
She told me. I don't remember.
It's a family name.
She told me.
We have Pookie, Suki, in our family.
Couple of nuggets from this first weekend. First of all, there are $973 million worth of money going to players who are not going to play this year, who are out of the game, who are hurt for the year, and that's not even counting a couple of guys who've been hurt in the first game.
Right.
But on rosters that are going to get paid. $973 million is getting spent on guys who are not playing this year.
That's crazy.
We could throw some GMs under the bus.
Guess who ends up paying for all the fans. That's why the prices are so ridiculous.
Yeah, and believe it or not, that's not the record. In 2019, it was over $1 billion.
Wow.
Of guys who
you're amazing with these stats.
Jason Stark at The Athletic.
They're all about money. Well, if I was Larry David, I'd be walking out on you right now.
Here's one about playing. Remember back in our day when Bob Gibson, when Cardinals. Whitey Ford, when they'd go out and they would pitch the game.
Yes.
And they would pitch
nine innings, right?
Yeah.
Or 10 innings. Or 11. 10 or 12.
Number of pitchers with 200 innings in a season. A decent year. In 1974, there were 65 guys who pitched at least 200 innings. In 2013, a decade ago, there were 34 guys who pitched 200 innings. Last year,
Five guys pitched 200 innings.
Cole was probably one of them, but there were five guys who pitched 200
That's
innings.
Aren't we
supposed to be making
analytics
bigger and stronger?
Analytics.
And
saving your arms.
Well, how come these guys pitch all, Whitey Ford, all these guys you mentioned, Gibson, Juan Marichal, Sandy Koufax, all these guys that pitch all those innings, why could they do it back then and they can't do it now? What's the difference?
I don't get that. And I used to sit with one of the fun things of my first couple of years in Cleveland was getting to – Bob Feller would come to the ballpark a lot, and he would sit in the press box, back in the back row of the press box. And I said, I got to go. And he was very kind. He's not considered to be the kindest guy in the world, but he was really nice to me. And we'd sit back, and I'd – you know,
what'd he say?
I'd ask him. He said, pansies.
He called them other words than that.
But he just, you know, tell them they got to go out there and get it done.
Right.
And they'll get to figure and out how to get it done.
They would get it done.
But now everybody's got to overmanage. You got to have this, you know, bullpen with all these arms in it.
Well, Cole, that's why I love Cole. I mean, when he was pitching last year, I think one of the games, it was the seventh or eighth inning, and Boone came to take him out. And he told him, get out of here.
Yeah.
Go back to the dugout.
Where else have you seen that? Have you seen that anywhere else from anyone else? Now it's, I'm going to give you the ball. I'm going to get out of here with my ERA intact and let the bullpen do its thing.
You would think with all these medical improvements that you would think they could last.
Yeah.
More than
and they don't even have to wear wool uniforms like they had to wear back then and travel by trains.
Yeah. That's why I think Tommy John goes into the – is it? I should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he'll probably not get in.
Right. Oh, for his name on the surgery?
Just
for getting your name on a surgery.
For being the guy who did it.
And come back and pitch.
When they, you know, can you imagine being at a doctor's office? The doctor comes to you and says, we're going to take a tendon out of this arm, we're going to put it in this arm, and you're going to pitch better. You going to do that?
I don't know.
Tommy John said, okay.
Let's do it.
And did it and was successful. Right. And now they almost ask you to have a Tommy John surgery.
Do they want you to.
They want you to.
Early in your career rather than late. Get it now. Get it done.
I mean, how crazy
is that?
That's
so true, yeah.
Anyway.
It is crazy.
All right. 5-0. The Yankees are undefeated. Will they be undefeated when we meet again next week?
I hope so, but I don't know. I don't think they win tonight. I don't know.
The odds are against them. I mean,
yeah, of course,
you take that. But the Cardinals get to home open here pretty soon, don't they? After this little West Coast trip?
Yeah. They're on the West Coast forever. It seemed like to open the season.
That's the beauty of these schedules now, though.
Didn't you say your Guardians were gone for
Guardians the first 10 on the road.
Is that right?
Four in Oakland, which was good because that was like home games because nobody shows up.
3,000 people were there.
Yeah. Nobody goes there. They're in Seattle early this week. Then they have to go to Minnesota and play there before they get to go home. On the day, let's tie it all back together. The day after the women's Final Four is Guardians opening day.
Let's do a road trip.
And the Eclipse.
The same
day, and it's total in Cleveland. It'll be a total eclipse of the sun. You can bring up what's her name,
Caitlin Clark.
No, the total eclipse of the sun. Wasn't that who sang that? Oh no,
you got me.
We don't have an answer to go off the.
Well, you
know, off the air with.
We didn't mention one thing going off the air. Money wise, that 3-on-3 tournament offered Caitlin Clark
$5 million.
And she says, no, of course not. She's not going to play against guys. It's like, you know, I think it diminishes the women's game when stuff like that happens.
She doesn't need the money.
She's not going to need it. She's already making that much out of this. Who was it, Justin?
Bonnie Tyler.
Total eclipse of the sun.
Nice.
There
that?
We go. All right.
Our producer.
We thank our producer for actually contributing something here. That's good. Justin Jarrett, doing a job. We also want to thank Trey and the crew here at USCB for their help. For Rich Basirico, for Curry Kirkpatrick, I'm Bob Stevens. We're out of here. Under the bus.
Ciao. Bye-bye.